Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, introducing me. My title of presentation will be about phosphorus critical value and requirement factor determination for a production in Ethiopia. Some of you may have some questions how TEF looks like, because this crop is only growing widely in that country. So I just bring the picture of this crop in the first page of my presentation so that you will have a pictorial view of this crop. As far as my presentation is concerned, I will be talking about a brief introductory remarks, followed by describing the methods and the materials that we have been using to develop the norms or to address the objectives. And then I will be talking about findings from research, verification, and demonstration trials related to the topic. And finally, conclusion, acknowledgement, and reference will be given. Ethiopia is in the east of Africa, as you can see it in this map. We have about 1.1 million square kilometers of area with a population of 73 million people. Out of these 73 million people, 85% of them are farmers. And you may wonder why, because with this percentage of farmers, we are not able to feed ourselves. We have several problems to this, and as far as my profession is concerned, soil fertility depletion is a main problem for producing enough food to feed the citizen. The reason is the land has been cultivated for centuries, resulting in depletion of soil nutrient. And the other problem is crop residue, as you can see in this figure. Used as a source of animal feed, and the waste from the animal feed is used for cooking because we don't have enough energy sources. So you can imagine if the crop residue and the animal feed are not going back to the field, you can imagine there is a depletion of organic matter in the soil that will be aggravated with continuous cultivation of crops on that field. So with this background, and with these circumstances, you can imagine the role of chemical fertilizers that can play in that country to produce enough food or to produce sufficient grain. As a result, the government was committed to import chemical fertilizer, and this importation increased from 947 metric tons recorded in 1971 to 346,534 metric tons that has been recorded in 2005. So this indicates that there is a huge amount of importation of chemical fertilizer to that country. But this importation or this application supposed to be accompanied by increasing use efficiency. The fertilizer recommendations that we are using at home is based on research findings that has been conducted for instance, for a county that considers a village or a county as a homogeneous entity, so that phosphorus rate application, for instance, will be the same for the whole county. So that was a controversial issue because soils vary from place to place, even very close to each other. So this issue was raised several times, and lastly, we try to manage to establish a soil testing laboratory that will give service to the farmers based on soil test analysis result. So these are some of the soil testing laboratories that you can see in this picture, and they have very good drying room and working areas. So this soil testing laboratory are 70 in numbers, were widely scattered in the country with the main mandate of giving service to the farmers. So establishing the laboratory by itself is not an end. So they need a guidance, a guideline to give advice to the farmers. So they need a decision criteria or a norm So we try to establish these norms as far as phosphorus fertilizer is concerned. So this decision criteria or norms include the critical value determination and the requirement factor. The critical value is the level where it shows point of sufficiency and the deficiency, and the requirement factor tells you how much should be applied if the soil is within the level of deficiency. So my topic is how to determine these two decision criteria. So previous experience in that country for other crops recommended to use Nielsen and Anderson diagram method of critical value determination, followed by Olsen method of P extraction. So we use this procedure for TEF production because TEF is very important in that country and as a staple food. So the objective of this project was to develop norms or decision criteria for such as critical value and the requirement factor for TEF production in that country. Sites were selected and about 50 the experiment was conducted on 50 farmers' field widely scattered in the country. RSVD was used with two replication. Treatment was factorial arrangement of four levels of nitrogen and phosphorus, as you can see the levels on this slide. After 2 to 3 weeks of phosphorus fertilizer application and planting, we took we took soil samples from the top 20 centimeter for critical value and the requirement factor determination with locally, as you can see this picture with locally made augers. So the net plot was harvested from 9 meter square area to calculate grain yield. And the relative grain yield and the critical value were calculated at 138 kilogram nitrogen per hectare, because we found that this rate of nitrogen was found to be both the economic and the agronomic optimum. So P effect can be seen with this rate of nitrogen application. Verification result indicated that the recommendation of P fertilizer based on Nielsen and Anderson diagram method was found to be more economical. So representation will focus on method of will my presentation will focus on this method of determination of the decision criteria. With regard to the result and discussion, these tables shows you that some of the mean soil physicochemical characteristic of the experimental sites. So this crop, as you can see in this table, this crop's grown in clay soils where we have higher percentage. As you can see in this slide, treatment effect were very clear, both from physical observation and recorded data. As you can see in some of these pictures, you can very easily identify the borders of the plots that receive different treatments, indicating that the response of this crop to chemical fertilizer application. So what we did was we invited the VIP people to support the soil testing laboratory, the personnel and the input for the laboratory. So this administration and politically important people visited the site, and they were very much impressed because of the performance of the crop at the different plots. From this data, we try to determine the critical value using the method that I mentioned before. In that method of determination, they plot the available soil P in the x-axis and the relative grain yield in the y-axis, and they use two lines, one horizontal and the other is vertical. By pushing this horizontal line up and down, with objective of at least achieving or catching the 75, at least the maximum 75% of the relative yield. And this vertical line can move right and left so that the points around this quadrant and this quadrant will be maximized, and the points in this quadrant and this quadrant will be minimized. So with this method of critical value determination, the vertical line will tell you the critical value of phosphorus. which indicates the level of sufficiency or deficiency. So with this method of critical value determination, we found that 10 ppm or 10 milligram of phosphorus per kilogram of soil was found to be a critical value for that crop, for that country. With regard to the calculation of the requirement factors, the second important decision criteria, we had amount of P added. So we take soil sample from those plots that receive this different level of P rate. We analyze the soil and we have this range of P from the samples with average value of this recorded data. So we calculated P increase over the control just by subtracting, for instance, 8.8 from 10.4, you will get 1.64. Then P requirement factor is calculated as a ratio of the applied N, this 10, divided by the P increase over the control. So if you divide 10 by 1.64, you will get 6.1. So with a mean average of the P requirement factor was found to be 6.72. So with the objective we try to achieve to determine the critical value and the requirement factor. So with this determination, we tried to verify whether it is working or not afterwards. So we choose different farmers field, we take soil samples, we analyze. For instance, in this slide, 10 farmers field were selected, and four of them were requiring phosphorus fertilizer application because the initial P is less than the critical value, and the other six was not requiring application of phosphorus fertilizer. And the verification results looks like this. On the left side, you have farmers practice. On the right side, you have the recommendation from the laboratory. So the performance was very good from the soil lab testing laboratory. So we organize a field day so that farmers can speak to their colleagues, and administrative people can also take a picture. And finally, we discuss under a bright sunny days under the shade. So during this discussion, the farmers were very much impressed and they wanted to visit the soil testing laboratory. So we organized them to visit the soil testing laboratory, and this guy was talking about how to collect soil samples, and this laboratory technician was discussing how they take curiosity about soil analysis. Finally, we come up with discussion. In conclusion, 10 ppm as a critical value and 6.72 as a requirement factor can be used for phosphorus fertilizer recommendation for TEF. And training on, because soil test-based fertilizer recommendation depends upon the representative of the soil samples, training on how to collect soil samples is very important, and this can be given by researchers. Finally, I would like to appreciate staff and farmers participating in the trial and demonstration, and I am also very much indebted to the Department of Plant and Soil Science of Oklahoma State University allowing me to come here to present my findings. And we are also very much grateful for this prestigious society accepting our abstract to present it here. I'm really very much excited because this is my first time to be here in this meeting. Thank you very much.
Time for questions. What percentage of farmers actually submit soil tests, and is there a cost associated with that to the farmer?
Yeah, the question was how much percentage of the farmers submit samples for analysis, and the cost associated with this. For as you can see from my presentation, this is a preliminary work to develop norms, and that will be the second steps to educate farmers to take their soil samples for analysis. For the time being, I will tell you, it is very hard for the farmers to take soil samples to the laboratory because it is on the process of learning issues. And the cost associated with for soil sample for the time being is intended to be free. to be covered by the government as a kind of, you know, motivating farmers so that they can come for they can bring their soil samples for analysis. So that's how we are planning to do it for the time being.
All right, our time is up. Help me thank our speaker. As I indicated earlier, if there are additional questions, I believe most of our speakers are still here. Technically, again, this session is over, but if anybody does have questions for Grania, have an opportunity to ask now. Okay, we'll move on to Patrick Forstall. Andrew Tucker. Questions for Andrew? Joshua Stamper?
Yeah, I had a question for Dr. Stamper.
Okay.
In the early 80s, there was a study that Mark Hooker and Dr. Sander did where they were capturing the, similar to what he was doing, but they washed the plastic and they found that there was all this ammonium that had stuck to the plastic in their little container that they stuck over the row. And I was wondering if you guys acid washed the inside walls. It looked like a little plastic container.
We were actually using galvanized. We were using 20 gauge galvanized sheet metal. And one of the things that we kind of looked at is, no, we did not wash the perimeter edges of that. We did see some oxidation because of the acid that we used on the perimeter of the galvanization, but no, we did not wash the inside of the boxes.
They just found a ton of ammonium on the inside of this container. It was kind of elegant, but.
Everybody, I had a question similar to that. That's a closed chamber technique, and I noticed you put the losses on a kilogram per hectare basis, whatever. How confident are you that the closed chamber technique really reflects what would actually happen if 7 to 9 days was closed?
Well, I think NOMA classified more as semi-static. What we found is that in the estimating ammonia losses, you know, whereas opposed to you might have an eddy flux system, you know, that looks that would severely, that might really underestimate that. Or as opposed to a semi-static system like what we use, would more along the lines of tend to overestimate those losses.
Well, you don't think wind would come along and actually drive that system and actually cause it to underestimate when it closed?
Well,
it's closed as far as there weren't any holes in it, right?
No, it was sealed. I mean, you know, you do have some gas coming through there. What we found, though, was that when we did have periods of precipitation, that did serve, you know, if there was an appreciable precipitation event, that did serve to quench, you know, any of the ammonia that was still in an NH3 form and had not yet converted to NH4.